Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. If you need legal representation, trust East Tennessee's best lawyer. He handles DUI defense, criminal defense, and personal injury. You can get in touch with someone 24/7, 365 by going online, GarzaLaw.com, GarzaLaw.com, or giving them a phone call, 865-540-8300. Before you say guilty, say Garza.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons.
11 in a row.
11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Edition of Reed's Ranch, a special Sunday edition. John Reed, Seth Hughes. Seth, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, John. How are you doing?
Doing good. Haven't talked to you in the last days. It's been 2 weeks or so. We decompressed after the basketball season, but we're back tonight after Tennessee goes on the road and takes a top five baseball weekend series.
Yeah. Baseball team is made of some pretty strong stuff, I think. I think, first of all, you can, like, Kentucky's good. Kentucky's good. They're pretty good. They're not top five, whatever. Tennessee should have swept them, whatever. But they're pretty good. And to gag the first game away, to still win the series, and to come back today down 6-2, Tennessee's made up some pretty strong stuff. They've got some dudes, especially when Snead wasn't great, Beam was okay. You know,
I mean, I would say for Tennessee to finish with 13 runs today after looking, I don't want to say lifeless, but pretty damn bad offensively through the first five innings. I mean, outside of the Moore bomb, like, Tennessee's offense didn't do much until Kentucky got up 6-2. And then, you know, of course, they had the big sixth inning and woke up after that. But yeah, like, scoring 11 runs in those final five innings, to me, I think was a pretty big statement, obviously.
Yeah. Tennessee has some professional baseball players, I think it's safe to say. They've got some really great hitters. I mean, yeah. And Amick didn't even do much. But it was good to see Tears get it going because he looked pretty bad. He's been looking pretty bad. But
Tears was on a tear this weekend.
The last two games, he was great. What does there say about Christian Moore? I posted in the Discord about, since he's been a freshman, the amount of huge hits he's had, starting with the Florida series in Gainesville when he hit the home run to take game three, the Georgia Tech single in the ninth inning in the regional last year at Clemson. I believe he also had a big hit last year against South Carolina. And then today, this was Tennessee's, I think, like, Tennessee would have been in danger of not getting a top eight seed if they don't win this series.
On the radio, I said it was about as close to a must win as you could have if you wanted to be a super regional host, like winning the series, just because losing it would put you behind Kentucky. And of course, you know, the other SEC teams you're chasing, you'd be like really up against the wall if you had lost this weekend series.
So with all that at stake, Christian Moore just, he has 8 hits in 2 games. He has 3 home runs today. He is the perfect baseball player. From a fan's perspective, he is the perfect baseball player.
He's cocky enough where he kind of continues the Tennessee culture that, you know, was set and, you know, really peaked in terms of the Bad Boys in 2022. Like, he does enough to really, like, keep that going without being too over the top of it. He carries himself with that same swag, though.
Yeah, he's a pure alpha. He's a pure alpha. You can tell how much he desires to win. He's done everything they've ever asked of him. He was a DH his freshman year. He moves to second base. He's become a pretty good second baseman. He is awesome. He's just an alpha out there. I mean, he's, you know, one of the nice things about baseball is that these guys stay for at least 3 years so you can really get to like them and get to know them. He's never hit leadoff before at UT. He gets inserted into the leadoff lineup. He cuts down on his Ks immensely. Every time you need a big hit, he comes through. He's just an alpha.
Along those same lines, Tony has told me to eat shit because at the beginning of the year, I thought it was really, really dumb that Blake Burke was batting in the 2-hole in that lineup. And whoops, my bad, Tony. My bad, Blake. Seems to be the perfect spot for you to bat. And he has turned into an absolute monster as well. So the top of your lineup, 1 and 2, it just, if you can get anybody to get on base at the bottom of the lineup, like it goes just to a completely different stratosphere in terms of how, you know, dangerous the lineup is. You saw that today, you know, with Stark finding a way to get on base a couple times.
Yeah. I would like to know what Blake Burke did over the offseason. He had to have just rededicated himself to the game completely. I don't think anybody in a million years would have ever expected Blake Burke to morph into a singles hitter. I mean, he leads the nation in doubles. He's obviously a great power hitter. Don't get me wrong. But, like, he hits for average. With 2 strikes, he has great at-bats. I mean, he's out there battling and having great at-bats, taking the ball the other way. He's just become an awesome hitter.
It was pointed out in the game thread, patreon.com/ReedsRanch, that his batting average is 130 points higher this year compared to last year.
Yeah.
Like, that's absurd.
Yeah. He almost has as many hits this year going into today. He was like 6 hits shy of the total he had last year. His on-base percentage, batting average were all higher. The only thing he was lower in, well, he had halved his Ks, but he has fewer triples this year than last year. That's it.
You know, it just seems like it starts just at discipline. I mean, it just seems like he doesn't chase out of the zone really ever. He figured out breaking balls. But I got to say, man, like I know the batting is, you know, so improved, but the defense to me is just completely night and day as well.
Yeah, the defense is a lot better outside of Amick. But I think with Amick...
Oh, no, I was talking about Burks. No, I was just talking about Burks individually. Like,
yes, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Burke does not let anything get by him at first. And like that play he made on the bunt, I think in the 5th inning, you know, where he comes across, sprints to the 3rd baseline, picks it up and gets the lead runner at 3rd.
Yep.
Like, that was a ridiculous play. And, for as good as his batting's been, his fielding has been really damn impressive, too.
The pick he had yesterday on Curley's throw was awesome.
Just all weekend long, he was awesome, you know, at first base.
He's been amazing. I mean, he's been amazing, you know. Watching Burke and Dreiling bat when they have 2 strikes is fun, I think, because they don't let anyone down easy. Dreiling had an incredible double to the left field yesterday on a 1-2 count where he took it the opposite field. It was just like, you saw it happen and you're just like, okay, this guy is a Major League Baseball player. Them two, when they get 2 strikes, are just really fun to watch. Nothing's easy.
You already talked about tears, but I mean, his home run, you know, I think it was an 0-2 count and he worked back up.
Yep, it was an amazing at bat. Incredible.
Got all the way back to a full count, and then, yeah, just absolutely unloaded one.
It was an incredible bat. He was on it the whole at-bat, and then he hammered two foul, and he finally kept one fair, and just, it was a laser. They're really fun, man. They're really fun. They're a really good team. I mean, what are we, 12-6 in SEC play? We have Missouri at home this upcoming weekend. You should sweep them, but just keep winning series and everything will take care of itself.
Have we won every series?
And also Aaron Combs. I mean, Aaron Combs could not throw strikes a month ago, and now he's unhittable. He's always had amazing stuff, just whether or not he can throw strikes. And I mean, yesterday he was amazing.
Do you think we found anything in the bullpen with Phillips?
They would love to. They've tried all season.
Well, that's the first time like they've really tried, yeah, though, like, and yeah, put him in there to see, yep, if he could sink or swim.
I hope so, because they need another righty. They need another righty, and or they need just
I
one.
I feel
more
like that has to earn a little trust, though, right? That has to earn you getting more reps. Like, yep, I'd be surprised if you didn't see
he
him.
He threw strikes. I mean, like, if he's going to throw strikes, and throw 97, then you have to play him. Like, you have to play him. So I hope so, because they need one more.
Have we lost a series since Alabama?
No.
I don't think so, right?
No.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we've talked about that one. We'd really like to have gotten that one. Blew an opportunity to sweep Ole Miss on Saturday. Like, there's a couple you let go, but you keep winning series.
You just keep winning series.
Stay in the top five. Much to the chagrin of all the haters and losers out there.
Yep. It was nice to... That Kentucky team's annoying, man. They're annoying. I kind of like the announcers, though. They were kind of funny, I thought.
I did, too. Everyone was shitting on them. Like, and I'm not saying they were good, but it sounded like you were just listening to a couple rednecks call.
Agree.
Call baseball. And I kept, like, this might be a very obscure reference, but, like, it was funnier to me. Do you know the Kentucky TikTok guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But have you ever seen his sidekick?
No.
His sidekick's this big, dark-headed guy, about 280 pounds, and he sounded just like the guy doing color commentary. So I kept picturing that guy being the one doing color commentary, and it became so much funnier to me the entire weekend. But, yeah, like, the SEC Network Plus is always just the home broadcast, and, you know, they were obviously biased, but they were kind of cracking me up. They were bad at their jobs. Like, they weren't very good, but... You know, them trying to buddy up with Tony telling them, you know, thank you for how good of a job he was doing. You know, they did. Just the whole thing was funny to me.
It would have been maddening if we had lost.
Yes. It would not have been funny had Kentucky blown it out in the you know, the late innings against us and we had to listen to it. But winning and listening to the disappointment made it funny. On that sweet ball four, when they would have had a strike them out, throw them out, double play, the guy just let out such a incredulous, what?
Yeah, I know. He sounded so confused.
What? That wasn't a strike? What?
He sounded so confused.
They were confused the entire, like, I don't know if they hit their you know, their innings count, if they were, you know, out of gas, but, like, they could not figure out who our defensive replacements were.
Yeah, I know.
They could not figure who was in the outfield. They could not figure out if a ball was going to be out or an easy fly ball. They thought everything Kentucky hit was a home run. They were really struggling. They were on fumes down the stretch, but I kind of enjoyed it. I watched, you know, a lot of baseball. I watched every inning this weekend, and they were a little annoying, but they were funny, especially knowing that we got out with a 2-1 series win. That should have been a sweep, but whatever. We'll take 2 out of 3.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Any other baseball thoughts? Vibes are high. You should, you know, 100% be hosting a regional at this point.
Yep.
You got the inside track on a super regional. You pretty can maybe catch Kentucky for the SEC East title if you care about that.
Yeah, pretty much all I can ask for. I think you're 2 games up on Vandy now, right?
Yeah, I believe so. They're 10-8, I believe.
I don't really know. I can't figure them out. But
they seem solid, but not great.
They seem solid. Yeah, that seems fair.
Solid, but not great.
Yeah, you're 2 games up on Vandy.
Yeah. You're four behind Arkansas? No, you're 2 behind Arkansas, right? They're 12. They're 14-4. You're 12-6.
Yeah, you're two behind Arkansas, one behind A&M, three behind Kentucky.
Going to be hard to catch Arkansas, but...
Yep. It does. As long as you get a top eight seed, I mean...
That's all that matters.
Yep. That's all that matters.
As long as I get to sit there on regional weekend and super regional weekend and my tickets and soak up the sun and watch the boys, that's all you can ask for.
Another really good Tennessee team. Another really fun Tennessee team. They're just really fun.
To me, it's crazy how different the team is from last year, though.
Yeah.
You know, last year couldn't hit, really. Yeah. You know, you just had to try to win with pitching. And this year you're back to, you know, maybe the best offense Tony's ever had.
Yeah.
At least in a non-COVID season. I know everyone says the COVID year was the best team Tony had.
I guess all that really needs to be said is that last year, no offense to him, Hunter Ensley batted leadoff. This year he bats eighth.
And gets pinch hit for by a guy batting 0.50. And then Peebles almost hit him a little grand slam. He almost got him one.
I know.
You could tell the players are trying to really will him into being good the way they were celebrating that sack fly.
Yeah, Caveras was
tears sprinted over to him to to dap him up and tell him good job.
Yep.
Any other baseball thoughts?
No, just a very fun weekend. I'm glad we were clearly better than them. I'm glad we got the series win. Very glad.
I don't want to give Kentucky the satisfaction of, you know, pretending like it was a big series because it's Kentucky, but it was a top five series that people were paying attention to.
Yep.
And it was nice to go in there and be like, hey, like, you know, nice little start to the season, but, you know, we're a weight class above you.
Yeah. For sure.
I really hope we figure out the pitching, though, like, because we were having to rely on Kirby to go out there and just keep throwing, even though they were just, you know, smacking him around.
Yeah.
Credit to him for, you know, coming in and getting us out with a double play, you know, in the fifth inning to keep it at four. And I guess credit to him for being willing and able to stay out there and just get shelled and try to gobble up some outs.
Yeah. That's about all you can say.
Yeah. I don't know how you felt the ninth inning, but I just kept laughing that Tony was just leaving him out there as they just kept hitting bumps.
It's like you watch Kirby and it's like you can't even tell from his demeanor that anything has happened. It's like you would just watch him and you think, oh, he struck the last guy out. Well, no, the last guy just hit one to the next county off of him.
He's come on the radio show twice and did some interviews. And last time he was on, I asked him just like, when he's pitching, if he kind of has an idea of how many innings or how many pitches, or if he's just like kind of surprised sometimes because he's thinking, hey, surely Tony's not going to keep leaving me out here. And he's just like, he never comes and gets him. He just keeps pitching until Tony comes and yanks him. And I would imagine after the second home run of the night, he was like, please, Tony, for the love of God, come out here.
I don't have it today.
Yeah, just I'm out of gas. Like I'm already like almost, you know, 50% more innings this year already than last year already. Yeah. Like, please get me.
He just keeps throwing.
And then he came and got him. Shout out to Phillips. All right, let's do a little basketball check-in.
We're going to get the big man from Ohio State, right?
That seems to be a name that Tennessee was in on even before he hit the portal. Allegedly, no tampering charges.
No tampering. We don't tamper.
Shall be filed. Yeah, but like... That seems to be a name that Tennessee is ready to pivot to. Barnes kind of said it last week with Awaka, like, look, you need to kind of make up your mind. And now that he's in the portal, I don't know how quickly, you know, Tennessee will reveal their interest in him or how this is going to play out. But yeah, like it feels like he's a Tennessee guy, right?
Yeah. And it just seems like Cade Tyson is going to go to North Carolina.
I mean, I haven't seen any updates from people, but, like, I just know that when he went into the portal, everyone's like, well, it's a Charlotte guy, and North Carolina wants him, so, you know.
Yeah.
Felt like a foregone conclusion. Although it feels like Tennessee's at least giving him something to think about.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Dubar. He shot last year... He shot
39.9% from three.
But he shot an outrageous amount of threes.
You're talking about Dubar or Tyson?
Dubar.
Yeah, Dubar was like basically over five a game. I think it was 5.5 a game.
I think he shot like over 180 for the season. And I think Connect shot 93 on the season. So he doubled Connect's output and he shot 40% from three. He can shoot the ball.
He seems to be a knockdown guy. I mean, the you know, Tyson from Belmont, though, I mean, he was even higher. He was at 45% from three.
Yeah, I really want Tyson. Tyson and Dubar together would just be amazing, I think. I just don't know, like, what is Iwaka doing? Why is he not taking visits anywhere?
He's just been Zooming with them. Is what Grant Ramey told me on the radio on Friday.
That's so
weird.
He just
had a couple of Zooms.
The Iwaka thing is weird.
Yeah, it's all odd because, you know, Grant Ramey told us, like, if Adu had entered the portal and had he known he was entering the portal, Iwaka never would have.
Yep.
So, like, I don't understand how they were just so, I guess, just off the same page. You would think they'd have some type of, like, understanding as teammates. Or just, you know, at least maybe Iwaka would have a little bit better of an idea of what his teammate was thinking. But I guess everyone was just blindsided by Jonas.
It's very clear Rick was mad.
You think Rick's mad? Because, like, it makes me feel better if he... Yeah, I was going to say, it makes me feel better if he's mad, because I've just been saying I feel like he's sad. Like, I feel like Jonas broke his heart, and like Iwaka too, just like, because those are guys that should not be transferring away from Rick's program. Like, he gassed Jonas up every chance he got, even after Jonas was playing soft against guys. He was like, hey, Jonas is as good as any big man in the country. He can be just as good as Zach Edey and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, he is a starter and had a bunch of playing time and got a lot of praise. And, you know, if Iwaka's going to transfer because of minutes, okay, that's fine. Like, we understand. You want to be a starter, go somewhere and start. But, like, now you can't use that excuse because, hey, the guy in front of you is gone too. So if I'm Rick, I'm just, like, just sad. Because, you know, he loves his players. You know, like he would love Jonas, who's been here for 3 years, and Tobe, who hustles his ass off. Like, you would know he cares a lot about those guys. And then he drops the quote about how, yeah, you know, like, we asked if Jonas was good, and he said, yeah. So, you know, didn't really see it coming. That's about as close as Rick will get to saying, like, hey, this guy stabbed me in the back.
Yeah, and the program is definitely better when it's full of 3 to 4 year guys. Rick's program especially. So it sucks. But the Iwaka stuff is just weird because it's like, okay, Adu left so you can come back now, so why aren't you back?
Well, it's also weird that I haven't seen really any teams he's been linked to, or at least I hadn't until like you know, maybe Friday afternoon.
Who was it on Friday afternoon?
No, I just didn't know if I'd miss anything. Like, yeah. I didn't see anything from the portal this weekend, honestly, except like the Freddie Roach guy went to, or not Freddie Roach, Jeremy Roach. Freddie Roach is a boxing trainer. Jeremy Roach ended up at Baylor.
Yeah.
That's all I saw. For as shitty as it would be to beat Tennessee and lose both your bigs, at least you're not Duke.
What's the deal there?
They've lost every one of their players. Like, they have like two guys left from their team that was going to be like preseason number one.
I know, but like what?
I don't know. Like, you know, Filipowski's going pro, but like everyone else, I guess, is just maybe Duke doesn't have any money. That's why that makes sense, is if they're just getting outbid for all these players. I don't know.
Yeah.
You would think they'd have some money, but maybe they aren't aggressive in NIL. I really don't know.
The only thing I'll say about Adu is that if he goes to Kentucky, that's unforgivable.
Yeah, like Kentucky, unless like it comes out that they're paying him like $2 million and the next closest he had was $1 million. Like if they're paying him some ungodly amount of money, I'd be like, okay, whatever. But like he was linked to Ole Miss on Friday, Adu was. And I was just like, to me, that's dumb as hell. Like if Adu went to Arkansas to play for Coach Cal and to play for Kenny Payne, who have a track record of developing big men and getting them in the NBA and, like, you know, having those connections. Like, okay, like, that makes a little sense. They don't have a roster you could start. They got some big men. But, like, Chris Beard's never coached a good big man. Mark Pope's never coached
basketball.
Yeah, and, like, if Kentucky, like, Mark Pope's never coached a big man. It's like you're playing for Coach Cal at Kentucky. Like, it's just – that would feel rotten, the Kentucky one for sure. It would make me mad. Like, I think that's the only one that would make me mad, though, at this point. Yeah, like, I think Kentucky's the only one that would actually make me mad at this point.
Yeah. Like, Baylor's a really good program. Okay, that's fine. You go there, whatever. Kentucky is, like, unforgivable.
I guess that was part of what they told Scott Drew they would do, you know, if he stayed, is that they would, you know, pony up some NIL, because the numbers for Roach, I think, were, like, $1.3, $1.4 million.
Oh, okay.
Was what I saw, like, on is what Bob, my radio co-host, told me that he had seen, was that, like, Roach was going to be in the 1.3 to 1.4 million range. So if they landed him, that means they paid him. And so if they were hosting Jonas, it means that they were, like, willing to pay him too.
Roach is pretty good, so. Okay. That's a nice get.
So I guess Baylor's just going to start spending some money.
Okay. Yeah, Kentucky is the one that is just unforgivable. You can't go to Kentucky if you're ADU. I mean, like, come on, man. But, whatever. It's just, it is what it is. You know, I guess it just seems like they're just assuming that Chaz Lanier is going to go in the portal.
He's a grad transfer, so he doesn't have to abide by the same rules. So I guess people think he's just focused on graduating and getting out. I don't know. But, yeah, like, that's been talked about for the last, like, month. Like, basically even before our season was over, was that Lanier was coming. And yet he's still not in the portal, but I don't know.
He had a weird career, man.
I don't even know who the hell it is.
He's from Nashville, which I learned about 15 seconds ago.
Well, I was going to say, all I know is that they think he wants to come to Tennessee because he's from Tennessee. He's from Nashville. That's all I know about him.
So his first 3 years at the University of North Florida, the Ospreys, he never started. I mean, he did start, but he was not a starter. His junior year, he averaged 4.7 points a game. This year, he started 31 out of 32 games. He shot 51% from the field, 44% from three, and he shot 7.5 threes a game. And he shot 88% from the free throw line. He averaged 20 points a game. But, like, he averaged 1.7 points a game, 4.5 points a game, 4.7 points a game, 19.7 points a game. I don't know. Maybe he just got serious about basketball.
What did he shoot from three?
44%. And he shot 7.5 a game.
And I'd imagine, I mean, I didn't watch any of his games this year, but I'd imagine that he was probably one of the focal points of the offense too, so they weren't all just necessarily wide open catch and shoot threes either.
My hope is that Tennessee's better on offense this next year at the expense of some defense.
Well, Coach Polinsky, I know I keep talking about people name dropping them on the radio, but like whenever we did our year end interview with him, he just said, "Hey, we're looking for shooting." He just kept saying shooting, size and shooting. So like the fact that that's who Tennessee keeps getting linked to in the portal, I don't think it's an accident, right? Like they're going for the best absolute shooters they can find in the portal. So
Go ahead.
They're going to sacrifice some defense, like you said. Like so, it seems like they're okay with it. I'd imagine they think as long as they have a good big man and Zakai and Jamal on the team, that the defense will be fine.
Yeah, Ben McKee said that Rick Barnes absolutely loves Dubar. Absolutely is in love with him. Saw his tape and was like, "We have to get him. That is who I want." That is him. That's, you know, and he has the body, that the size that Rick Barnes always loves. So I'm pretty excited about Dubar. I would just, him and Tyson together, man, that'd be some serious 3-point shooting. Dubar can really shoot the ball. Dubar can really shoot the rock.
And he's good from the corners too. So, you know, Rick likes putting guys in the corner.
Yep. So I'm hoping we'll be better on offense next year.
At this point, what percentage do you give Awaka on coming back?
Low. I would say low. I would say like 25%.
Yeah. Yeah, like Monday of last week, I was at like 60. Monday of tomorrow, I'm at like, like you said, I was going to say 20%.
Like I seriously think like every hour that goes by without him going to Tennessee, like the chances go down.
I'm at the point where I don't care.
Yeah. I am too.
I'm at the point where I don't care. I said, you know, after Friday, I was giving him till lunchtime Friday. And even if he does come back, I want to start Estrella. You've
I'm
lost
really
your starting
excited
spot.
About JP. I'm really excited about JP.
you've lost your starting spot as far as I'm concerned, Iwaka. So if you want to humble yourself and come back and come off the bench, come on. If not, we're moving on with either my boy JP or the Ohio State big man.
So the poll, the Polish young man, he's out, right? He's...
I haven't seen any updates of him being out. I still think Tennessee feels like they're in a good spot with him.
Okay, so they still want him. Okay.
Well, I don't know if they still want him. Last I saw this morning, though, is that, you know, I talked to a guy that, you know, stays kind of connected. He said that keep an eye on the Ohio State guy and that Tennessee is still kind of in the mix with Igor.
He seemed like a pretty nice pick and pop guy.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's shooting. Yeah. Rick wants his shooting.
Yeah, he seemed like a pretty nice pick and pop guy.
I guess all it said was expect Igor to make a decision soon.
That makes sense. He's not one of these guys. He's not good enough to drag it out.
Yeah, I didn't say one way or the other. I'm kind of surprised that Igor was able to like leave campus without giving Rick an answer, honestly.
Yeah, agree. Agreed. He just seems like a nice piece.
It'd be a good rotation guy.
Yeah. My assumption is that Tennessee will be a top 10 team again, and that we'll be in the thick of it for the SEC title. You know, I mean, Alabama has lost so many people too, man. Like, Ryland Griffin transferring is just mystifying to me. But whatever.
Everyone keeps saying they're going to be stacked, right?
Well, they got the AAC Player of the Year, who's, I guess, pretty good. I mean, he played for South Florida. He's from Tuscaloosa. And then they got Aiden Holloway, who I guess people just – I don't really know what the deal with him is, but, like, he wasn't very good at Auburn. But when I saw national guys really talking him up. I guess they think he's going to have a really good sophomore year. And they have a good recruiting class.
So he left Auburn to come to go to Alabama?
Yeah. He was a super highly rated recruit. He was a 5-star point guard.
That's a pretty funny move.
Yeah.
They're going to boo him. Don't do it, Jonas. Don't go to Kentucky. We can still remember the good times. No matter where you go, as long as it's not Kentucky.
It's true.
You can always come back and be honored on the Elite Eight team. But not if you go to Kentucky. Boy,
KD Johnson has picked his destination.
he ended up where? George Mason.
That's sad,
he seems like a George Mason type of guard, like, but it's crazy, like, he couldn't at least get a call from like Providence. Like Kim English, you know, couldn't at least call him back, hey, you know, hard nosed point guard. We could always use those at Providence. You like George Mason? I used to be there. Just come on up here. I've upgraded.
Yep.
That is sad, bro. Just go try to play professional basketball somewhere.
Yep.
Go to China. I would never have the confidence to do that. I'm too insecure. I would rather disappear than embarrass myself like that.
Yeah, I agree. Just seriously, go to China.
Yeah, have some damn pride.
Go to China. Or just run it back at Auburn. He didn't have to leave. It was just like he wanted to start or whatever, and Bruce was like, your minutes are going to go down, if anything. You know, so he was like, okay.
Well, he was one of those guys that probably hit the portal and then they realized the portal wasn't hitting back. Like, he probably got there thinking he'd get some offers and of course, didn't really get any.
Yep.
All right, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. New $20 patron, Ronnie Newports.
Shout out to brother Ronnie. We love you and appreciate you.
That's the only new patron. But shout out to all the patrons that came out to our radio golf charity event yesterday. It was appreciated that you all came. Shout out to brother Chris Kilby, who won a brand new, nice one of those little Blackstone grills.
Those are nice. Those are very nice.
He won our door prize, to which some people scream collusion, and that I had set it up and rigged it, which maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But I'm glad a patron of Reed's Ranch won it. Let's have some questions.
Brother CB, a.k.a. Colts beat reporter, asked for you, what was more devastating in your childhood? Learning that wrestling was fake or that Santa Claus
Spoiler alert.
If any of your kids
are riding around with young children, spoiler alert. Fast forward 2 minutes. Now's your chance. Go. Fast forward 2 minutes. There's probably some, like, you know, 8-year-old kid that just had wrestling ruined for him too. So maybe I need to go back and put the spoiler before that. But you know, I think I was pretty aware of both pretty quickly. I've told this story before, but it was either like kindergarten or first grade. First grade, I think I fooled my mother into paying me twice for a tooth that I'd already lost. I'd found one of my teeth that I'd lost, and I took it upstairs, and I had some red Kool-Aid, and I spit it out and pretended like I'd lost a tooth, and of course got some money for it that night. So then I was kind of alert that things weren't necessarily on the up and up. Plus my brother was 6 years older than me, so I think he kind of, I had older cousins too, so like I was pretty aware pretty quickly of both things not being necessarily on the up and up. So neither, to be honest, neither. I guess my dad used to always get so mad when we watch wrestling, and he would try to tell me it was fake, and I'd just be like, okay, whatever. He's like, look, this is silly. If I hit you in the face like this 10 times, you're going to bleed. You're going to get knocked out. And I'd be like, sorry, they're just tougher than you. And he used to get mad about that. He's like, why wouldn't they just move out of the way whenever they try to jump into them? So, like, I guess if I had to pick one, I'll go wrestling.
Brother Smitty asked for you, what was the most ridiculous?
You know, it was kind of a shitty feeling when I knew I wasn't a good kid. You know, I was solid. You know, I was a solid kid, Seth. Spoiler alert, if you're still listening, if you fast forward and keep going. I mean, I was a fine kid. I was nothing special. I wasn't, like, helping with charity work or anything. But, like, you know, like, going to back to school in kindergarten and first grade and, like, you know, the teachers asking kids what Santa got them. It always kind of lined up, you know what I mean? Like, whenever, like, you know, like, oh, that kid doesn't have a lot of money. His parents didn't get him something great. Meanwhile, I'm like, hey, Santa got me a new four-wheeler. I was like, why did Santa get me a new four-wheeler? I didn't even ask for one. You could kind of figure that out from an early age that, like, your parents got you better gifts than your friends' parents and stuff like that. So, you know, I was pretty intuitive as a kid. Anyways, go ahead. Next question.
Brother Smitty asked, what was the most ridiculous WWE storyline that you believed in as a kid?
Oh, wow, a lot of wrestling here. Probably that Kane and Undertaker were brothers. And that the Undertaker had burned Kane up in a house fire. That one, probably.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, yeah. He showed up as the evil younger brother of the Undertaker. And yeah, the Undertaker had burned him alive in a house growing up.
That's tremendous. Another question just for you, Brother Parker. Ask, what do you think of Taylor Swift's new album?
You know, I didn't really listen much to it, but it doesn't seem like everyone's in love with it. Some of the screenshots of some of the lyrics have been pretty cringe.
Yes, extremely.
My real take is just 31 songs is too damn much. Like, I get she was putting out a couple albums during COVID, but that's like when you have time to actually hone in and like focus on the music nonstop, right? Like that's when people wanted to be creative and try to do these hobbies or be able to really focus on their craft. She's been doing like a world tour the last 2 years and running around being a famous girlfriend of Travis Kelce. She doesn't have the time to put enough attention and care into these 31 songs. That's the way I think about it.
I haven't listened to a song. I have seen two things on Twitter about it. One is the lyrics, people just posting screenshots of the lyrics, and they are woof. Two is that video of her dancing, and that is cringe too in the music video.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to put Taylor down. She's earned the right to have an album not be up to her standard. It comes for everybody. Not everybody's going to have nothing but home runs. This one feels like it feels like one that her fans are going to love and defend and that everyone else is going to kind of use it to make fun of her. This is kind of what it feels like.
Yeah. Brother Jonah asks, what do you think the biggest contributor to the Burke turnaround is? I would say hard work. I don't really think you make the turnaround he's made with some light bulb moment from a coach giving you some coaching.
I don't know. Like I said earlier, I think he just quit chasing balls out of the strike zone, and there had to be something simple at the plate. Just like, it feels like something changed with his approach.
Yeah.
You know how you always say you're not smart enough at football or basketball? Like, I feel that way about baseball. I don't understand.
Well, he started taking the ball the other way.
Yeah. Like, I think that's a part of the approach, too, though. It's just like, hey, quit trying to hit home runs all the time. Like,
yep.
Singles and doubles are cool, man. Walks are cool. Like, you don't have to hit nothing but home runs.
A walk is a hit. A walk is a hit. You know?
But, yeah, like, he's had so many plays where he just, yeah, pokes them, you know, to left field over the shortstop.
Yep. I don't know. He's become a tremendous hitter and all, and just the whole way around to lead the nation in doubles, but still have that batting average with those, you know, just his being able to spray the ball around is pretty awesome. It's like Brother Jonathan Toy said in the Discord earlier today, when Burke comes up, you just expect him to get a hit. You just assume that Blake Burke is going to get a hit. Now, you contrast that with the Southern Miss series last year, up until the home run that he hit to the ocean. Everyone in the Discord wanted him benched.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was probably the loudest one of everybody. Like, yeah, no, like I said at the beginning of the year when I see him batting in the two hole, I was like, you got to be kidding me, Tony. You got to be kidding me. And no, like, he's your third best hitter on the team at worst. You know, I don't know how you would rank them, but like, to me, the three best hitters by far are him, Moore, and Dreiling. Like, to me, those are the three best hitters.
Yeah, I think that is for sure. Christian Moore is the best player on the team, but Dylan Dreiling is just overall the best player. I mean, it's only his second year of college baseball, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Dylan Dreiling is the most professional hitter on the team.
That throw Friday night not included.
Oh, yeah, man. That was, man.
I can't judge too much. I had that happen to me in kickball this week. I went to throw it. It just completely like twisted in my hand and went like 5 yards. And I could feel the other guys on my team being like, what the fuck was that?
That was embarrassing.
Because I don't really know him. It was bad. I felt bad.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
I completely twisted it. Couldn't even get it to first base. It was miserable. So brother, I feel you, Dylan. It happens to the best of us.
Brother Oven asks, Preds game one prediction. This is your reminder that the Stanley Cup playoffs have started.
Big 2-7 matchup, Seth.
Are they the 2 or the 7 seed?
They are the 7, but they're hot. They're hot. Okay. They're an equal 7. Like, if you probably just look over the last like month or so, they're pretty, I'd imagine they're pretty even with the Canucks, honestly.
All I care about when it comes to hockey is that a Canadian team does not win the Stanley Cup.
It's so funny you say that, because that's always where I end up too.
Like, as long as an American team, and hopefully it's a team from Florida, wins the Stanley Cup. That's what I like. When a team from like Tampa Bay wins the Stanley Cup, but as long as it's not a Canadian team, that's cool too. I've been to one NHL game. I saw the Sabres play the Kings in Buffalo one time. LA Kings have some cool jerseys.
We can no longer root for like Arizona either. They moved Phoenix out. Phoenix is gone.
Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah, so now Florida is our only hope to like make everyone really mad, all the purists and traditionalists.
Yeah, I just hope a team from Florida wins it. But as long as it's not a Canadian team, that's all I care about. So I hope the Preds beat the Canucks, sure. Go Preds.
Game one tonight, 10 p.m., ESPN.
Oh, that's right. NHL's back on ESPN now.
Canucks only minus 145 on the gambling line, so it's pretty close. Like, just for comparison's sake, the Rangers and Capitals, it's a 1-8 matchup, not a 2-7, but the Rangers were minus 300. So, like, Preds pretty close to even, you know, when you consider the home ice and everything with the Canucks. They've been playing really good.
The Predators are in the Western Conference?
Yeah.
Oh.
Kind of like how the Grizzlies are in the West.
Okay. So they have to go all the way to the Pacific Ocean to play this game. Okay. All right. So, yeah, that concludes Talking NHL with John and Seth. That's all I've got.
Okay. Appreciate you squeezing this in on Sunday. It makes my week open up a lot better. So we needed to do something. We had to go on a little hiatus. So thank you for squeezing it in. And, I got nothing else either. Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. Doing a fan run night at Smokies Park May 30th. If you are a patron and want access, free ticket, hit me up. We're doing a big night Thursday, May 30th. So that's our next kind of big outing. It'll be a collab with the radio station. So be on the lookout for that. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. All right, Seth, love you.
The only other thing I have to add is big game James. James Harden.
All the jokes, all the shit people have talked about James Harden, they now have to eat those words because...
Why were the Mavericks favored?
Mavericks been playing really good since the trade deadline and no Kawhi. And because the Clippers are left with big game James and Paul George.
A Hall of Famer. They have two Hall of Famers in their starting five.
Well, yeah, but the Mavericks have two Hall of Famers in their starting five, too.
That's true. James Harden filled it up.
They didn't realize that, hey, James Harden actually is sometimes good in the first round. Yeah. It's later in the playoffs that he struggles.
Later in the playoffs. We're not going to talk about that. But Big Game James showed up as usual, and I wasn't watching, but I was paying attention. Because I love James Harden.
He had 20 points at halftime.
And he finished with 28, then,
like,
I think.
Well, in the fourth quarter, like, that lead had gotten down to like 15. I looked, and James Harden had 23 points. So he took the third quarter off.
He's old.
He's pacing himself. But yeah, Big Game James. Shout out to James Harden.
That's all I've got.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye. What defines my name? What defines my name? NAS. What defines my name? NAS. What defines my name? Name existed forever. Means victory, helper. Whole name means protector. Shortened it by two letters. Without the IR at the end. The reincarnated Gil Scott living in a bottle again. The World Cup in Moscow with a blonde who's a 10. Vape pen when I speak is like a lottery win. Quote my total, multi-mogul. So fly, I can walk in any spot. Every box be soaking. From a time when weed was stronger. Today's streets are calmer. They used to kill for shade sneaks and bombers. My name existed forever. Before Christians came in America, even better. With click sounds in their mouths was language for humans. With stick figures and caves, my name's written fluid. Nasty like way before even Rome had a sewage. For 50,000 years ago, if I could choose its origin, since there's nothing to gain by assuming, I'ma say the definition of my name, the truest. I shocked them like real bullets and prop guns. Creep with baddies and sequence dresses with ice drum. Fresh off the jet, you can see my vision where I've come. How much time y'all got? Yo, Prem, let's drop something. What defines my name? What defines my name? NAS. What defines my name? NAS. What defines my name? DNA of King James, kin of St. Michael. Polygamous minded, seven wives on ridiculous timing. They always share the same title. That be the whiskey talk. That's foul like a stop in Frisk, New York at 20. I said I better quit by 30 than by 30. I thought by 40 rapping is corny. How wrong was I? Never would have thought that 50 new songs by Nas would be hard to lie. I leave them scared like when they hear their name called, but ain't nobody there. The definition of my name probably started where? I wrote the E-Train, fingers covered in ink stains. Writing was like an escape, excited, leave the beat flame. It was Rod, Kane, Coogee, and Chris. Few names like Cool James, Face, Cube, and Rick. That was musically sick, successful and unnatural. I throw their songs in a cyanide capsule. The truth is poison to any fraud. Demigod, rocking suits and shoes, going against any odds. How could you hate me? I survived the 80s, the D's, the trauma, embalming fluid and laced weed. Inhale fumes from a stove or cook up. The show's booked up. I chose to take the world over. Look up. What defines my name? What defines my name? NAS. What defines my name? NAS. What defines my name?
Hey yo, 30 years later, Illmatic was dropped. Yeah, man, what the fuck am I doing?
Hey yo, Prem, chill. I got the rhymes, you got the beats.
Alright.
30 years later, we back in the streets, we back in the lab.
Alright then. Let's go, Nas.
It's time. It's album time.
Yeah. It's time.
It's time. Black is time.